Welcome to Notes on Nursing Live, compelling interviews with today's nurses who are changing healthcare. Brought to you by Johnson & Johnson. Notes on Nursing Live, presented by Johnson & Johnson, is the podcast extension of the national bi-monthly e-digest Notes on Nursing, which shines a spotlight on nurses as innovators and critical change makers in the delivery of positive patient outcomes within today's healthcare landscape. You can subscribe to receive Notes on Nursing updates at the Johnson & Johnson Nursing website, nursing.jnj.com. Every month, Notes on Nursing content is accompanied by two episodes of this podcast, which provides greater insights and nurse perspectives into topics discussed in the e-digest. You can listen to previous episodes of Notes on Nursing Live on the podcast player at nursing.jnj.com, and don't forget to subscribe to the entire series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. In this episode of Notes on Nursing Live, I interview neonatal wound care expert and innovator Roxana Reyna, a nurse practitioner who specializes in wound care for neonates and children. Roxana creates wound care dressings for these tiny patients by using wound care products typically designed for adults, custom fitting her patients' needs to help heal their wounds. Join us as we talk about her work as an advocate for infants with birth defects like omphaloceles, and find out how she now teaches other nurses about innovating products for their individual patients. Hi, Roxana. It's Jamie Davis here from Notes on Nursing Live, and I'd like to welcome you to the show and thank you for making some time to speak with us today. First off, I'd just like you to tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your nursing career.
Hi, Jamie. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be able to share my story with everyone. I'll talk a little bit about myself and the nursing that I've done throughout these 20 years. Actually, I've been a nurse for about 20 years now, and my first job has been at the same hospital where I'm at. So I started nursing and started in the neonatal ICU, and then was a nurse at the bedside and gained a lot of interest in other things. So I did different certifications and just advance my career. And at the same time, I also advanced my education. So I've had different experiences with wound care is what I fell in love with, and taking care of babies and children. So that is what I do now. And it's something that I am really passionate about and love helping kids, babies, and their parents to help them to heal.
Fantastic. And, you know, nurses are all patient care innovators in one way or another. And often they start with a particular problem and what they see as a less than optimal solution. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you moved from being a NICU nurse to an inventor and wound care specialist?
Okay, well, like I said, I started off in the NICU and I learned a lot about the disease process in the neonate, including the surgical piece. On that patient population, and became very interested in just how, you know, we would admit a baby and in the surgical sense of things and trying to be able to make the patient better and seeing how we lacked a lot of things for patients of such a small size. You know, they're different than the adult. And so I gained some interest in learning more about wound care and seeing how things could heal in a proper sense, a proper way. I wanted to get some education and training on that. And I did that. I went to the Wound Care Education Institute and I learned about the basic skin and wound management. And when I was there, I was surprised that I didn't learn specifically about the neonate. But I didn't learn specifically about a pediatric wound or a neonatal wound. What I learned more was just in general, and I asked my instructor at the time, what about the neonate? And they said, you are the expert on the neonate. You will come back and explain to us more about that. You'll be the wound expert in that area. And that's exactly what I had to do, is I had to learn. I did a lot of learning and applying my basic principles of wound care and management, using products that were made for adults, but still selecting products that and using their properties, and keeping in mind to be safe, non-toxic, and cost-effective at the same time for the hospital. So I had to cut, and I had to make special to fit, to customize for my patients, so that at the same time I can offer the same properties of healing of dressing, but make them to fit to the needs of the patient. So I think that that's what I did, is just gain more interest in something and try to solve or come up with solutions to different challenges that we face in our patient population. And that's what triggered my interest more, that there's nothing available. I mean, doing research and trying to find out, you know, well, what do they use in adults and why is it not used on children? And it's because the literature is very scarce. It's very few publications on maybe different kinds of products that have been used on neonates or babies and children. And that's something that just sparked my interest, to be able to not wait to have that information and wait for somebody else to do a study, but then for me to be able to either do a study, a product evaluation, to come up with something, to create something that would then help other kids across the U.S., you know, not just in my hospital, but to share our outcomes, to share our data so that other kids could benefit in other facilities as well.
You know, I know that you made some specific inventions or invented some new procedures and processes for managing omphaloseals. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what you saw happening and what changed in the way that you approached this pretty rare condition in neonates?
Well, an omphaloseal is a congenital defect. A baby is born with their intestines out through the belly, and it's encased in the umbilical cord, actually. So it's a very fine, thin, transparent sac that is can break or tear, and it holds your intestines. And not only that, but maybe if it's a giant, what they call a giant omphaloseal or large omphaloseal, it's going to have more like the stomach, the liver, maybe other organs as well, you know, in there. So it's really important. And what happens in these babies, it's really like an abdominal wall defect that is not able to be surgically placed back in properly because it does not fit. So the baby has to grow enough to be able to reduce that safely and be able to do a surgery where the abdominal wall could be surgically closed, and then the baby is able to tolerate feedings and do all the things that other babies and kids are supposed to do. So what we found was there are different types of management that's non-surgical. So there are different ways that maybe a surgeon might manage it to help it heal. And what I was seeing was, after I went to take this wound course and skin management course, I thought that this defect looked so much like a wound, you know. And in this kind of wound education that I received is about moist healing, you know, moist healing for the wound, a proper environment to allow it to heal. And what was standard to use by some surgeons has been to paint it with iodine, paint the defect with iodine, and allow that to dry and create a cast or an eschar that really takes about, you know, longer to heal. So when I looked at it, I thought maybe this could be treated like a wound. And I asked my surgeon, you know, could we do this? Is this something that maybe we can apply the same properties as we do with the dressings? And I was asked to look at the literature, to bring the data, and then we would talk about it. We did, and we looked at everything and how the the dressing that I was selecting, how the properties were supposed to heal this, like a wound. And then finally, I was able to apply that to a patient. So this was a patient, a little girl that was born that had this defect, and I was able to see if what this question that I had, would it work, could it work? It was safe, it was non-toxic, and at the same time, it was easy for the parent to be able to continue that at home, take the baby home, and be able to continue doing the dressing changes herself in a clinic with support until the baby actually grew complete skin over that defect. And it was amazing. It was amazing. I could already see changes after like about maybe day 3, day 6. You know, you're looking at it, you're taking it down, you're assessing the site, and you're seeing the changes of like neovascularization on that tissue as it picks up, and then it goes on to pick up, and you can see that the cells are growing, and then a patch of skin is actually on there, you know. So it's super exciting. It's something that I'm very passionate about. And actually, that one case was published in the Journal of Pediatric Surgery, and you could see that awesome picture where every time I see it, I'm wowed about how that technique, just using the same properties, was able to help develop the skin that it needed to cover that defect.
That's a fascinating story, and just so wonderful to hear how, you know, you were a champion for this when you saw something that you thought could be better. I'm curious, did you run into any challenges or pushback when you started looking at doing this? Did you hear anything from other people in the field that this wasn't necessarily going to work or anything like that?
The only pushback really was in the beginning, trying to put that down, like you have your idea and your thought that you put on paper, that the adjustments that you have to make, you know, you have to be open-minded to that. And you have to take your criticism as constructive criticism from others that maybe have been in the field longer than you have, you know. So even my surgeon asking for data and asking for information and me knowing it's not out there, what am I going to do about that, you know. It's a little frustrating, but at the same time, it's to be able to work together and collaborate together, put your minds together to have a better outcome. So really the challenges were more of just being able to learn that if we had to readjust. I mean, that's part of the nursing process, is to be able to reevaluate things and be able to make adjustments and then try again, you know, a different way we have to. So in doing this dressing on this patient, what I thought where I was going to leave a dressing on at first for like about 5 days really has changed to every 3 days in the beginning. And that is to be able to manage the moisture of the wound and then also just proper management, like I said, of having that balance that the wound needs. So, you know, I guess just like anything else, you have to go at it, put your plan in place, and then have to make adjustments as you need to. I did not get any negative feedback, or at least not to my knowledge, like to my face or anybody telling me that it can't be done or this can't be done. And as a matter of fact, I've always had support around me from nursing and from administrators or from my surgeons in being able to put things forward. And the team that we have is really cool to have a balance in our surgical team, where surgeons are, you'll have one that is more conservative, one that is more innovative, and then, you know, so there's a balance to be able to bring all that knowledge together. And for me to be also to stop and think just like that, to, you know, stop and listen and be conservative about what I need to, or to just keep on trying to be innovative at the same time. So I think it's a balance. It's a balance that the team brings forth, and that's something that I absorb from our team, you know, You want to be able to find that support, and you want to be able to find those people that are like-minded, you know, as well, that can help you, to push you, to promote, to get you out there, really, and to promote these best outcomes. And I think that really it takes collaboration, and it takes a lot of effort from people wanting to reach that same goal.
You talked a little bit about the need for research and data when you first got started in this, and that you were directed to kind of go out and gather that. But I know from experience and myself, and I know from listening to you speak, that there's not necessarily a lot of data, especially around certain patient populations like neonatal patients. So what do you think it's important for nurses to do when they run into a situation where there isn't the amount of data they'd like to see to help pull a project together? Can they get out there and put the data together themselves?
Nurses can go out there, you know, look at the problem, look at your challenge that you're trying to or question you're trying to answer. You know, go out there and do the research. In our library, we have a medical library. I mean, our hospital has a medical library. So we also work in collaboration with that team, where we are doing research in the things that we may need. So you have to first research, is it out there? What information is out there? It might be very minimal, but you might find something that someone has maybe already done that their recommendation then is to, you know, like further investigation needs to be done, you know, so you can see what steps they took, like they say, not to reinvent the wheel, but to be able to see what they have tried, you know. That is, those are stepping stones that they've laid out for you, where you can pick up from there and move forward, you know, to try to create the data, to get together with other healthcare facilities if you needed to, you know what I mean? If you want to reach one goal, then to do like a multi-site type of study, you know, to reach out to other colleagues or other people in the same kind of field that you may be certified or specialized in, to be able to pull that data together. Now, with the information out there, with social networks or just belonging to social groups of the same kind of expertise, you know, that you may have, you're able to network with one another. You're able to maybe quicker find out information that you couldn't have before, when you had to just be doing research out of library, you know, out of library. But I think that I don't take no for an answer. I'll just maybe stop and look around. But you can't give up. You have to keep on trying to reach to that goal that you want to, and there might be a dead end, but I know that if you keep searching and keep reaching out to the people that can help you, you will be able to find more answers than you would need.
As we wrap up here, Roxana, can you tell us a little bit about how it feels to have made a change that seems to have such a broad impact on the patients that you're helping? These children are growing up with different lives than was previously expected, as far as what they would need to do moving forward. This has changed parents' lives too, to be able to take their children home and do these types of things. How does it feel when you see that change happening as a result of the innovation you came forward with?
It's very rewarding for me. I've had other people ask me about my innovation, or maybe they've heard my story, or I've been involved with other groups, organizations, you know, with innovation, highlighted because I visited the White House as a maker nurse, and was honored as a guest there, you know. So I've been in publications here or there. And then I've had people ask me and kind of be upset at that it's not an innovation that is purchased or sold or marketed. And that doesn't bother me, you know. There are going to be innovators out there that are going to help a patient right at the bedside, right at that minute when they need something that's not available from a storeroom, available in a package, available, you know, as such. And you have to come up and you have to MacGyver, you have to cut and think and do what you can for your patient at that time. And for my idea not to be out on a market sold is not what I look for or what I sought out to do, which was like 10 years ago almost, you know. It was to be able to help my patients and to help them have a better outcome while they were in the hospital, to go home in the hospital, to be held earlier by the parent at the hospital, to be able to have a plan, and then the parent to be able to continue the dressings at home, to be able to see a kid grow. And whenever this story was highlighted, well, my story was highlighted, and I was able to meet the mother and the daughter, who is Kayla. When I was able to meet her and see how we connected in that moment, it's like if we had developed a bond, and that is my reward. Being a nurse, being able to help, I've helped many patients throughout 20 years, but it's this bond and it's the reward that you receive that makes it all worthwhile.
Stay tuned for more new episodes here at Notes on Nursing Live coming soon. And check out another recent episode where I interview Renitha Julian, one of the nurse researchers behind the Chicago Parent Program at the Rush University College of Nursing. Check out that and other episodes of Notes on Nursing Live in the podcast area on iTunes, as well as our podcast player on nursing.jnj.com. Also, don't forget to submit your own innovative ideas to the Johnson & Johnson Nurses Innovate Quickfire Challenge for a chance to win access to grants and mentoring. More details can be found on nursing.jnj.com/home. Notes on Nursing Live is recorded for Johnson & Johnson Nursing by Medic Cast Productions. All rights reserved.